Well, unfortunately, Adam, what this means is you have to cut this bit because usually we do. We
the
have
preamble is already recording. So.
I know.
So to work out.
How can Niall be timed out on X? What does that mean?
What's that?
He said something bad. Niall says he's been timed out on X.
Oh, he's just pressed.
Oh,
he's done something wrong, isn't he? Pressing all the buttons.
So basically, yeah, what it means is that he's set a time limit on how much time he could spend on X.
Hello.
Because he's a child and he has to have time limits that stops him going on social media.
He's got screen time on X.
He's got a screen time.
I mean, that's good because then he wouldn't get told off. Like Martin Drake's been telling me off all day, but you know.
Look, right, the reality is, guys, X is the devil.
No, X is evil, but that's how we get all of our stories. Unfortunate.
Still evil.
And that's, yeah, we admit it's still evil. Dear me.
That's my explanation to Drake.
Yeah, know. Yeah, exactly. It is, right, should we crack on, Adam?
Of course we are.
Yeah, that's right, baby. in this week, on the 2nd of September, 1986, Dennis Wise's first league goal was enough to beat Charlton Athletic, who are you, and leave the Dons top of the first division table. There were just 3 minutes of normal time remaining when the 19-year-old Southampton Reject was on hand to bundle home.
We are top of the league.
From a close range after Jones had blocked a John Fashno effort. All the experts writing them off before the start of the season, said the Alex boss, Lenny Lawrence. But I can tell you this, it takes some effort and commitment to match them. It still takes effort and commitment to match them. And we still bring on the Waifs and Strays. It's our policy. We're the same old Wombles. We're back. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to an exciting transfer deadline special, which is going to sound much more exciting now than it will in your ears in a couple of days' time. Anyhow, to join me on this evening extravaganza, I'd like to welcome all the way back from his travels to India. It is Dr. Adam Proctor. Adam, how are you, my friend? Are you getting over your jet lag?
I'm good. This is just totally so late to be doing a podcast. It's ridiculous. But yes, I'm good. I'm good.
We do late podcasts. We do morning podcasts anytime.
It just means I've got to edit it in a random time tomorrow. But whatever. Fine.
Yeah. That's the way it is. It looks like you're wearing Google glasses.
I know. This is the thing. This is my problem, is these my Tom Ford glasses look like Meta glasses, which is bad, but they're not. I promise I'm not videoing anyone inappropriately.
Message to Southampton University, you're clearly paying this man too much money if he can afford Tom Ford glasses.
Oh, man, what is going on? and of course, welcome. He's staying up late. It is Mon Frere, Niall Cooper. Hi, Niall. How are you?
It's very late. No, I'm here. I am scrolling through the BBC to see if they're any good on their deadline coverage, which they are not. I've used Blue Sky because obviously I've timed out on X.
That's brilliant.
And, you know, I've got to be honest, it's really difficult to get decent updates apart from you lot and from all the other people. So, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Well, it's all go here. And finally to welcome the Voice of the Opposition podcast. And our man, I think he will be keeping an eye all over social media in our last hour of the deadline day transfer. It is Tall Mark Lewis. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Good evening. I think the best place to start is our dear beloved friend, Alex, who long-time friend of the pod and indeed former columnist, who messaged about half an hour ago, saying it's been at least 50 minutes since we signed anyone. Come on, Craig, sort yourself out.
Exactly.
That frankly sums up the last 12 hours, which has been quite weird and wonderful.
That's been nuts.
It has been weird and wonderful. I think this is the busiest deadline day. We did call it, though. I think a last podcast, one before, we called it. I thought it was going to be coming down to this deadline day. And so it's been a bit crazy. And, you know, we're recording this now at literally 10 o'clock, which is why everyone's going to fall asleep. And the big thing is, on just literally today, no surprise at all in terms of outs.
We should start with the games first and then get to the transfer stuff.
We should start with the games, but surely. I just want to bring us up to where we are now. I'm going to bring us up to where we are now, Adam. It's a process. There's a madness to my process. I'm going to tell where we are now and then we're jumping back to the games. So just today, we've had Hatford's gone to Swindon, Enkeng. This was no surprise. It was a surprise that he ended up going to Charlton, where that had never been anything before. Apparently, he'd spoken to JJ, so I think he must be on commission. And we've got three players in today. Simmons so far. Simmons from Brighton, Richards on loan from Chelsea, and Bursic on loan from Portsmouth. So this is where we are currently at 10 o'clock on transfer deadline day. Now, whilst we wait for any news to come in, and I can see Mark is just, he's all over socials, he will keep us updated if anything else comes in. So let us rewind a bit, because there's been a lot going on over the last week, less than week, 5 days. I think probably lots been talked about already, but let us go back and have a look at the League Cup, which was, I think, it was a lot of fun. I'm trying to work out if I enjoyed it as much as our Chelsea trip to Stamford Bridge, which was really good fun. Niall, what did you think?
That's a difficult one, because the atmosphere in the ground at Fulham, I think, was better than at Chelsea. It was amazing. Absolutely loved it. I mean, the place was buzzing. There was 5,000 of us. We filled that, and it was just brilliant. That said, as long as you didn't, I didn't really pay much attention to what was happening on the pitch. First 35 minutes were all right, and then it kind of, you know, we petered out. We've got a voice note, so I won't go into my issues.
Note
at the end of this, and we can save that, because the voice note leads on brilliantly to the transfer deadline stuff, because there's loads of comments in there about transfer deadline. Yeah. But needless to say, as Matt Phil well knows, and as does Dr. Adam Proctor and Toolmark, that I might not particularly be au fait with the organisational skills of our Premier League neighbours, Fulham.
They don't have any organisational skills.
Very, very least. So, you know, that's where I'm at. But I'll save it for the voice note, Matt, and for everybody else.
I don't know if we've got enough time for this podcast and your voice note.
I don't know where we're going to put it in.
Adam, I don't know how long his voice note his voice
it wasn't
note went
too
on,
long.
But he literally grabbed his phone and just went 70 hours.
7 minutes.
The voice note is not 7 minutes, is it? Oh my!
It brilliantly links in with all the transfer.
Yeah, I know. Oh my days! I think you're right, Adam. Anyhow, so the fans were just incredible. I don't think enough has been made about it. I mean, I really think, and there was a bit from JJ afterwards saying the fans were celebrating not just about being there in the Premier League ground, but because they were really pleased about what they were seeing on the pitch. I think what we saw on the pitch had nothing to do with what the fans were up to. We just decided that we were going to have a party, and it was amazing, because every time they scored a goal, we got louder. To the point, I think this is right, Mark. Jackie Oakley,
on her Apple Watch was like complaining how loud it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, her watch was complaining. Her watch was telling her that if she was exposed to this level of noise for an extended period, it would do her some danger and harm, basically.
Yeah. And but Mark, what did you make of the What did you make of the game?
So the curious thing for me was I was there with my son and my daughter, which is fabulous, because having that kind of experience, and obviously I know you guys come with your children on occasions as well. As do a lot of us. A lot of us are second generation, or we are bringing the next generation along, which is fabulous. And obviously there's another generation actually arrived recently in the Proctor household. So congratulations to Evie on that one. And the best thing for me was that was an experience that my kids got to enjoy, because I asked my son recently about just general life experiences for their generation. And he said, look, they get saturated with news so much that there isn't really any sort of big epoch changing thing like there is with like there was with our generation with people like John Lennon being killed. But it really felt for me like there were so many fans under a certain age who were at the game against Fulham. Obviously they cared about the result, but actually they were giving it large and continuing to give it large and cheering and continuing to cheer. Comparing it to the Chelsea game, obviously you guys went to different ways after the game. When we came back from the Chelsea game, a couple of years back, the Chelsea fans were singing against us on the tube. When we came back to Putney Bridge last Thursday, they were Fulham fans almost literally cowering away from the Wimbledon fans, because we were proud to be there and we were proud to support our team. I don't think we played particularly well on the pitch. The setup didn't really work. However, it was definitely a game plan which didn't come together. But what I do like is that we were much more compact, for example, than we were at Huddersfield. But the fans were fabulous and the scene was fabulous. The atmosphere was absolutely fabulous. And it really encouraged me to think, well, I should go to more away games, frankly.
Yeah, I thought so. I mean, the chant is just still in my head. I like it. But it's just, it was crazy. I mean, on the pitch, yeah, you're right. We were set up as, and even against Wigan, we're set up to defend. Don't concede is the simple solution. Don't concede. And when we do, trying to get a way back into it is almost impossible. And it was just like, do not let a goal in. And I thought that was a major problem. Mark?
I think you're right. I think that's the way we were set up. But I did notice a different thing without wanting to jump straight off the Fulham game onto the Wigan game. But the Wigan game, we had a different formation. The Wigan game, we set up with two number 10s behind Stockley. In this case, in the case of Sasu and Mars Hippolo. And I think a lot of us were quite interested seeing the team sheet that we had. Well, seeing the team sheet for Fulham is like, well, we've given this game up because we're not playing our strongest team. Seeing the team sheet for Wigan, which was a more important game of the two, clearly. A lot of us thought we'll play Stockley up with Sasu, but that was not the case. There was definitely a situation where you had two in midfield, which was Nelson and Smith in this regard, and then the other two in midfield were further forward, but it's kind of tucked in more centrally, namely Hippolyte and, in this case, Sasu. And what I see is it will come on to the transfers and the loanees and the new signings and so on. But what I see is interesting about them is that they seem to have been signed specifically, and I'm including McNeely in this, with a view not just to be another square peg in a round hole. In other words, people who can play in slightly different opportunities, slightly different locations on the pitch, so that we're not completely predictable.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really interesting that switch. But also, the one thing I want to talk about in terms of players I thought who played quite well for us in the Cup game, and Niall, you might have an opinion on this, but and this is what surprises me transfer-wise, is I thought Bishop actually played all right. I thought he commanded his box, he pulled off some decent saves. I was half expecting him to start against Wigan. And as we're recording this now, it's now 10:10. He's still with us. So we've still got three. We've still, at the moment, we've got three goalkeepers. So, Niall, what did you make of Bishop?
I mean, the thing is that I wasn't at the Huddersfield game. So, and I know lots of people look at that Huddersfield thing. It's really difficult, isn't it? Because I don't know how good a goalkeeper Bersic is, because I've never seen him. Obviously, Bezo knows Bersic and he's got their history with the club, and he was in England under 21, under 20, under 19, in the whole categories all the way up as a goalkeeper. And, you know, McDonald's a very safe pair of hands. But it's, we've just signed, we've got Bishop on another 2 years or something, haven't we? So
yeah,
I'm not sure what happens and how do we, who goes out and who doesn't. I mean, McDonald makes sense to stay because he's just like, he's a number two goalkeeper, really. He's solid. Bishop's obviously a goalkeeper who can be good, but has obviously lost a bit of confidence.
It's really weird. Difficult. It feels like there's something there.
I was surprised that, weirdly, because I thought, you know, maybe they'll play off each other and then, you know, yes, we could do with a slightly higher quality goalkeeper, but we're not loaded with cash. So it's like, I don't know, it's a bit odd. But
yeah,
on loan, hopefully Pompey are paying his wages and therefore it's a kind of freebie player.
Yeah, I want to get onto that point. Yeah, I want to get onto that point later on now about the money and stuff like that, because I think it's interesting. I don't think Bishop has played. He didn't play that bad. He played well. He was player of the match against Newport. Admittedly, it was a cup game. I thought he played well against Fulham. So it feels like there's something. There's something somewhere that's not worked out. And maybe he does get this loan and he gets his confidence back, or for whatever reason, it's just not fit. It's really weird. But listen, before we go on to that, because, you know, the League Cup game, it was really good fun. There were issues. I mean, the fact that there was this whole bag drop thing, and there was this great moment where after the game, I'm coming out with Niall, and he goes, I've got to pick up my bag. And I thought it would be like in the ground, like in the like there'd be a stall outside the stadium, whatever. And you say to me, and I genuinely thought you were joking, no, Matt, we've got to go all the way down this road, turn right, go to the end, and it's in a school. And I genuinely thought you were taking a piss, but that's what happened. You got all the way to the end of a road, turn right, join the back of a queue, which we queued in for like half an hour. But fortunately, in that queue, we met Mickey Haswell and I think his mate Jack, who is a fan of the show. Big shout out to Jack, to you. And listen as Niall explains what happened on that day. Now then, it was hilarious being in the queue with him. It was hilarious being in the queue with him. Yeah, it was hilarious being in the queue. Mickey Haswell was really lovely about us as well. So it was really nice. And his mate, who was part of the foundation, was really nice about us. I don't think we got that bit, unfortunately, on the voice note. But he was talking about you, the professor, Adam. So you've got fans,
nice,
mate.
Cool.
it was really good. It was a really nice evening out. Difficult game. I mean, it was as expected, but our fans, absolutely terrific. And then that brings us on to...
Can I quickly say something about the Fulham fans?
No.
What is there anything
What the
to
heck?
Say,
are you joking?
What is there to say?
What?
No, he's the voice of the opposition fan.
Go on, yeah, carry on. Be the opposition.
Are they all ex-Wimbledon fans, apparently?
Yeah, according to couple, right. Yeah.
No, all I was going to say was they were really quite salty when I just made a couple of casual comments about the fact that they didn't seem to really bother. There was only sort of 10,000-11,000 or so of them there. And I know that we were very loud and there's good acoustics on our end, but you couldn't even see any particular engagement or movement by any of the Fulham fans for the whole game. And apparently we were just the same when the boot was on the other foot.
Yeah,
we were back in the Premier League, but I genuinely don't remember that. I don't remember patronising away fans or people. You know, I remember, for example, Ramsgate came a couple, 3 or 4 years back when we had Ali and Ellie's called a hat trick and we won 5-0 in the FA Cup first round game. They cheered all night. We didn't patronise them. They were just fabulous.
No, we didn't. No, but I just didn't. But again, I think that we probably in those games against Ramsgate, against Dagenham and Redbridge and loads of other sides we played, I don't think we've been particularly noisy, have we, when we played, though? We're not particularly noisy when we're playing. So it's when it's these sides' cup final, it's you can see that they raised it. And we raised it, but I think it was a different level. It was really exciting. I think the other thing to say, which you need to bear this in mind, we had 5,000 of us there, almost 5,000. That sells out King's Meadow.
Yeah.
That's how big
this
we
is
are.
That's how this is the big thing that people need to remember, is we are literally selling out 2x King's Meadow, like all over. Everywhere we go, this is a big deal. We are totally smashing it when it comes to increasing our fan base.
Yeah, and in actual fact, we're getting to a point where our stadium is actually too small for us. It's just incredible.
Stadium, I think we've known it for a while, but that said, there was, you know, we were 1,000 short capacity, 1,500 short capacity on Sunday. You know, I mean, Wigan are never going to take a huge amount.
But there were
gaps in the home end as well.
There are reasons for that. There's reasons for that, though, isn't there? Which is that the match being moved to a Thursday evening meant our match had to be moved to a Sunday at 2 o'clock. It just changes everything around for people. So they were never going to bring that many. Other people had other plans moving. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous. And now, obviously, our game is on, we're recording this Tuesday, our game's on Wednesday, our next game's on Monday.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're all messed up.
So it's just, it is a bit messed up. Already, it's just all messed up. Anyhow, but, you know, there did feel, it almost felt like, you know, we were, and towards the end, we were trying to go for it a bit. So I was sort of optimistic going into the Wigan match on Sunday. But I think the phrase is rode our luck.
But you guys I mean, were there, just... right? You're all there live, yeah.
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 Yeah. It was what the game was. It's really simple. It turned with 20 minutes to go when we brought on 4 subs. You know, well, before true. That, it felt like here is a bunch of kind of half-bothered cloggers going through just trying to tire Wigan out slowly, and then we're going to bring in our best team, which, boy, it seemed to be. You know, I was calling for those subs. I mean, admittedly, I thought the three I named were 3 of the 4, so I didn't think he would ever bring on 4 subs at the same time. But, like, you know, really early on, before half-time, I was calling for those because it was obvious where we were, what we needed. And we were just a far better team. Up front, Stockley and McNeely, I've got to know how to pronounce his name, looked like they really could be a good combo. They looked good, didn't they?
Yeah.
But they didn't play as a combo.
Because there's obviously another element to this, which we're never going to see again, which is a real shame, which is the brilliant player that is Junior Nkeng, who we've gone out, don't know how many games he's ever played for us. It's not that many, but, you know, I think his talent will live on the memory of Wimbledon fans for a long time. Because that guy,
I don't know that it will. Right now, it obviously is a sad situation. But I think it's very much a case of, you know, who you are, what experience you have. You know, he played less than 30 games. He was with us in the first team set up for less than a season, as was Ali, actually. And people talk about Ali mainly because we haven't had a striker that good since. Now, in Kings, I'm not going to decry it. Did we want to sell him? Absolutely not. Do we have to sell him because we need the money? Of course we did. However, I guess the situation is League One football, generally, people say Wimbledon's football is boring, Jackson's football is negative. But generally speaking, League One football and League Two football as well, and to be honest, a lot of Championship football I've seen, isn't that much cop. That's why someone like Nkeng is exciting, because he's a break from the norm, so to speak. I don't know necessarily if we get, I don't know whether or not McNeely's going to turn out to be the finished article, whether or not this new Jamaican called Whisper, the loanee from Chelsea, will get people off their seats, as Craig Cope commented when we signed him today. But if he does, then people will get behind him. You know,
that's very true.
I kind of get caught in this one because there's a whole Brodie Hughes theory, and the bit that makes me kind of not so worried is the fact that he's played 14 times for Jamaica. But you know, Brodie Hughes didn't.
No, this is true. This is true. The
Liverpool team. We'll get on to the transfers in a bit, because I think there's some interesting things about appearances at some of these loans that come in. But the one thing about that game, we can't. For me, it turns on two or three things. One of the first things is it must have been the second half. Wigan's miss, incredible miss from 3 yards out. A ball's come over, and it's just put a. So there's that. The Wigan miss is one thing. But I think, in actual fact, earlier, what am I saying? Earlier on at the start of the match, after 3 minutes.
Yes.
Mark, should their keeper have still been on the pitch?
Absolutely not. No.
Twice,
in fact. He played a very innocuous ball up through the channel. Stockley ran towards it. The goalkeeper got there first, headed the ball against Stockley. The ball rebounds past the goalkeeper, at which point the goalkeeper pulls him back in the area. End of story. The most damning comment about this was Paul Kendrick, who, if you want to check him out on social media, is a journalist with, I believe, the Wigan Observer, who was commenting on the game. He was clearly at the game and in the press box, therefore, is much closer to the action in terms of higher up than, and further along the stand than the rest of us all sit. He's almost the other end of the stand. In other words, he would have had an absolute bird's eye view of this, and he called it straight away that it was a foul, a red card, clearly denying a goal scoring opportunity. End of story. And that's the first one he did. And then later in the half, he took Sasu out.
Yep.
By colliding with Sasu and not getting in the ball. And what's even more ridiculous is they didn't have a substitute goalkeeper.
No, I know. That's the mad thing, isn't it? Felt, they had no sub goalie.
It was really wrong. And I was trying to work out from the referee's view if he didn't see the pullback. Because if you look at the video,
it doesn't matter where the ref was. Like, literally, the guy is like all over. It's ridiculous.
He's come around. He's done. Looks like quite a decent tackle. But if you look at it, you can see he's pulled around. I mean, it should have been. So there's that which would have obviously changed the game completely. And maybe then we can just sit completely back, and they hold on. And who knows what happens in a situation like that. They miss a sitter, and they had quite a number of chances. But then, as Nar says, in the second half, we bring on these subs, and I've never seen him bring on four subs before. And it was a statement of intent, because these were pacey players he were bringing on who would make a difference. I mean, I think it's only a matter of time before Sessegnon starts regularly for us, I'd have thought.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that is the big question. And so then it becomes what happens to Tilly, isn't it, really? Or Seddon. Does Seddon then become part of a three? And then who do you drop out of those? Who is your preferred back three?
Matt, when we come on to all the other people we sign.
Yeah.
Equally, you could argue quite comfortably, Harrison looked really comfortable on the ball.
Yep. So it's going to be...
You know, you've got Harrison. I mean, obviously Junior Enkin's gone. But the other one is McNelly up front, who I'm going to pronounce differently every time I say his name until he tells me correctly.
I've told you McNeely three times.
McNeely. So those three are all players that I would feel very comfortable with starting against Burton.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, and talking of the Burton game, what else was interesting is there was a picture sent because we were training up in that area. God, I can't remember the name of who we were training with. They took a picture of the squad afterwards, and there were some notable omissions. There's no Sweeney, no Stockley, but I'm assuming that they're just recovering, and I don't think they can play that amount of games, so I wouldn't be surprised if they're rested. But equally, there was no Sass, and there was no Bishop in that picture. But still, before we get on... thank you. But anyhow, the point is, we run like those subs made a difference, and then there is a beautiful bit of skill by McNeely, who gets onto a flick on from Stockley, and then his feet are so quick he knocks the ball through to Hippolyte, and Hippolyte goes through and beautifully tucks it under the goalkeeper. I think it's quite interesting. His interview afterwards, he says he deliberately didn't look at the keeper, but it was great, and then everyone's gone nuts. And in actual fact, Mark, I don't know what you thought about this, but it felt to me like we saw the game out from that point. I wasn't so worried. And what was quite interesting, I think, sitting next to Niall, when Seddon came off, Yedon came on, and we looked at each other and went, yeah, that's all right. You know, it wasn't like we were bringing on a midfielder. We brought someone on, we went, yeah, that's brilliant. So what do you think, Mark?
First of all, I thought Hippo was offside, but I've seen stills showing
you. Oh, he's not offside, for goodness sake. It was miles onside.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't miles
offside. He was. The guy on the right played him.
Miles Hippolyte. I can see where the confusion is.
The guy played him so onside, it's ridiculous. It's onside, no.
big thing for me is if you see the whole family watched the YouTube like 10-minute clips afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you notice is, first of all, Stockley misses the long ball clearance from McDonald completely, but nevertheless, McNeely is already gambling in a way in which every decent striker should, and unfortunately some strikers we've had playing for us this season so far haven't. He's gambling on the fact that he's going to get the flick on, so he's there already. He puts himself in harm's way, gets a little kick from the defender, but gets the ball first. And Hippo's also gambling on the fact that he's going to get that touch. That, in terms of intuition, is what makes the goal. Quality play. And unlike the quality finishing, the lack of quality finishing. I mean, the centre-forward that Wigan had, apparently, they bought in close season from Orient. But they obviously bought the wrong Orient forward because Ballard's gone to the Championship and is scoring already for Bristol City. Scored again tonight. Whereas Sonny Perkins, whoever he is, clearly... doesn't know the way to the goal.
Oh, it's just, it was just, I mean, like, that is a horrible, horrible miss. Dear me.
Matt,
hilariously
put it. Glorious. It was a glorious miss.
And again, it was, what was quite interesting, and I'd like to comment, Niall and Mark, you were there, and if you collect any highlights, but who was your player of the match? Because what's interesting, it was given to McDonald, but there, if you look at the highlights, there is a moment, and this is where you think why they're bringing in Bursic, because there is a moment where he's gone to claim a ball and he's missed it completely. And in actual fact, it dropped to their forward, who again scuffed a shot wide, and that would have been a McDonald mistake from what looked like a relatively easy catch. I mean, he did pull off some good saves, but I'm not sure if there are there any of those saves that Bishop couldn't have made.
No.
I think Bishop is a good shot. He let himself down out of the field. But no, you're right. Dominating in the air. Sweeney did that almost exclusively through the whole game, but McDonald does not dominate his area, does not dominate his box.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sorry,
that's exactly what I was going to say. That's the difference you've got, is that Bishop dominates the box, but has obviously lost the confidence of the team because he's making silly errors. And that's where I think the difference is. If you talked about my player of the match, if you rule out McDonald, then I think it goes with Stockley.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. I thought Stockley was great. There was actually a moment in it which, and I just thought, this is totally JJ's thinking. Because there's a moment where Stockley is, and this reminded me a lot of Kedwell, to be honest with you. Stockley's playing right back at some points. He's gone into that position and he's heading the ball up. I mean, it's just, and he's gone to the, he's playing left wing and he's crossing the ball in to himself and he's not there. And then you've got Johnson, who again ended up playing left wing. It's just like JJ said to one, right, you're all wing backs. Everyone in the side has to play wing back. I'm surprised we have anybody in the centre. That's why we can't get the ball through the middle, because we all have to play the ball out wide. Everyone's a wing back.
I think your difference there is that Stockley will appraise the situation on behalf of his team and do what his team needed at that particular moment. So did he have too much goal threat overall on Saturday? No. And Kane created a good chance for him, which he headed over the bar. But actually, in the two home appearances he's made so far, he hasn't scored a goal yet. He hasn't scored one at Orient. He hasn't scored at home yet. But the crowd are definitely appreciating him. He already feels like he's a proper Wimbledon centre-forward.
Totally. He's got the Kedwell impression as well. He's got the Kedwell thing to him. I mean, he works half of the side. He will get back and defend. He'll put himself about.
The thing with him as well is that, I know there is a stat, and I'm sure Mark will find it on socials, but he just wins everything in the air. You know, when it comes to aerial battles, you just kind of assume Stockley's going to win it. It's almost like you're a defender going like, oh, come up against Stockley. He might as well just step away because he's going to win it anyway. You know, that is brilliant to have, isn't it? You know, that's where the gambling of, right, Stockley's got the ball, we can gamble because he's likely to win it. And I just find that it's such, you know, from my days with Stuart Evans and Vashnu and Danny Kedwell and all the rest of it, that kind of player is just going to win it.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like it feels like a Wimbledon player. He's probably only scored about 8 or 9 goals this season. Maybe a bit more, but like, he's going to create for other people.
He's got a bugle look to him. Mark, if you got anything, Adam, I'm saying that for you. because honestly, I'm looking at you, and at any minute you're just going to collapse. The man has got a major jet lag.
Go sleep.
He's going to fall asleep in his. He's going to fall asleep in his chair at any second. Now I can see his eyes going.
Because Adam thinks he's about to wake up in the morning because he's living 4.5 hours.
He's going to collapse. Adam, come on, mate.
I'm trying.
You've got to keep it going. We need you in the buttons. Okay, listen, it's just gone 10:30. Mark, what have we got, mate? Come on, what's happening?
No more updates. There's lots of chatter that on top of all of the signings we're supposed to be making, then allegedly Marcus Brown is going to Luton, allegedly.
That still hasn't happened, though, has it?
And allegedly we're signing Lyndon Gooch from Huddersfield, but that one's been rumoured all day.
Yeah, the Gooch from Huddersfield's been rumoured all day, but yeah. That's the latest, isn't it? From Don's on tour. Don't go to bed yet, Don's. So we want to confirm that Marcus Brown has joined Luton Town for an undisclosed fee. But that's just X talk. Not that you can see it now because you've been kicked off of it now because you've done your time.
That's the right thing to do.
The other one they were talking about earlier on was that the club obviously needed a certain amount of incoming financed, either to finance the bond gap that we've spoken about in the past and or to finance the transfers that they've got coming in the last 12 hours or so. And they thought that was going to be in the King situation, and that broke down, hence the fact he played a little cameo against Fulham and a little cameo also against Wigan on Sunday. And then they allegedly told Brown, because the King thing had broken down, that there was an opportunity for him to then, or his agent rather, to then look at opportunities elsewhere. Now, of course, if the agent went ahead and did that, and then the King situation changed all of a sudden, that's probably why Brown is looking at things, you know. So,
yeah, it's a really interesting one. But do you know what, though, Mark? Even talking about this, and it feels like we have got... There seems to be money somewhere, because I know that Nkeng goes and releases some money up, but we don't know what that is. But some of these signings do not sound necessarily cheap to me, and I do not believe that Nkeng's money covers it all. I really don't.
I was thinking this, right? Chelsea will have covered the wages of the two Chelsea players. Pompey probably are covering quite a lot of Bursic. Maybe not quite as much as the Chelsea guys. And then Brighton definitely will be covering the wages of Simmons. So, you know, those are four people that are coming in that probably aren't adding an awful lot to our bill. A bit, but not an awful lot. And then if you're thinking that we're potentially going to get rid of Brown and Hackford, and we may get money for Brown and Hackford, that money probably gets us profit over those four players coming in. So then that's where it...
Possibly.
We don't know.
You never get the money up front, do you? So
yeah, It just feels weird to me. It's not just that night. It's not just that. I think in isolation you would go okay, but the club have not been putting out regular updates about the bond, because the whole thing was we needed 1.7 million in the bond, and I think it's just over 600,000 at this moment in time, and yet we haven't heard that news from the club. There's not been anything going out, and it just feels that we are making deals that I would not have expected us to make. I would not have expected us, because we don't know what's happened with Bishop. So and also, Mark, I don't know whether you know this. When can you keep loaning players out to? Does the loan window close today as well?
Yes.
So we're bringing these players in without having, you know, we brought Bursic in, but what's going to happen to Bishop? Is he still going to be there? I mean, it would seem really weird.
We bought Bursic in, and we bought the players we've sort of spoken about, without necessarily, unless obviously it's just going to be announced at the 11th hour and go through some deal sheet and finish at 1 o'clock in the morning after we finish recording. Don't worry, Adam, we're not going to go on now. If that's all going to happen, and we already know that actually it is in line to happen, and we've just insured ourselves by actually getting these people in. But the other thing, of course, is you have three goalkeepers under contract. And I'm imagining that with the three-year deal, and he's got, you know, best part of 2 years of it left, Bishop's contract wouldn't have been that cheap. You see a few examples now. You can see bobbing up on social media, a few players and a few clubs cancelling contracts and paying up contracts. Now, we're not going to be in a position to do that type of thing, especially not someone like Bishop. No. You know?
Yeah, it just feels weird to me.
The interesting thing on your argument, Matt, is Seguinson, who I think is a player that I would not have thought that would come to us, who is clearly a good player. You know, that's interesting. Stockley probably, again, like a player, both of those players are people that on the way they look, good additions, you know, good additions. So it's interesting to see where we are, and the fact that we're like looking at Seddon and Tilly not being quite the players they were, they becomes interesting. I mean, like, this is the most topsy-turvy transfer window in AFC Women's history, definitely. You know, and there is so many things coming up. Like we were doing on a WhatsApp before we went on air about, you know, what's the starting 11? And, you know, just for the hell of it, I picked a starting 11 that included only one player that was actually ours last season. And it's not a bad looking starting 11.
Absolutely. It's probably worth me running through what I did in terms of, like, who's come in and who's replaced who, so to speak.
Yeah, let's do that, and then after you do that, I've got the squad as at 22:11 on deadline transfer day.
So what I've done here, and obviously this is, you know, making one or two assumptions, but basically I've picked up on the player that's come into the squad, into the club, yeah, loanee or opponent transfer, and who they're going to replace in the squad, so to speak, or whether they're just spare. So Bursic replaces Bishop. Sweeney replaces Lewis. We mentioned Joe Lewis. Joe Lewis can't have had Burton Albion on his bingo card as the club he was going to go to. I'm imagining he had other clubs lined up and unfortunately it didn't work out financially or from an injury point of view, from a medical point of view. But good luck to him anyway. Apart from tomorrow night, obviously. So Sweeney replaces Lewis. Simmons, who's the 18-year-old from Brighton, who looks quite a lot like Riley Towler, for anyone who hasn't seen the social media pictures. Simmons replaces Patrick Bauer. Sessegnon replaces Asimwe, who's gone to...
Salford. I know.
You clearly haven't seen him defend. Richards, the Jamaican whisper, replaces Nkeng. McNeely replaces Hackford. This is personnel, not specific position. Nelson replaces Reeves. Stockley replaces Bugle. Yedom as an addition, and that, assuming Brown and Bishop are leaving, would leave us with Hippolyte, Seddon, Maycock, Oggs, Smith, Sasu, Johnson and McDonald. Eight players from the squad from last season. I'm sure I've
missed one. This is the squad that we've got at the moment.
And Cornick, yeah. Then when I did this list, I realised that I missed McCoy Splatt and I missed Cornick.
Yep. So this is the squad that we have at the moment. At 22:11 on transfer deadline day, at the moment, Bursic, McDonald, Bishop, goalkeepers, centre backs, Johnson, Oggs, Sweeney, Yedom, Simmons, wing backs, and obviously everyone is a wing back. Tilly, Seddon, Sessegnon. So in actual fact, we're short of a wing back at the moment. We've only got three. Centre mids: Nelson, Maycock, Smith, Hippolyte, Harrison, Brown, McCoy, Splatt. I'm very surprised at McCoy, Splatt. Strikers: Stockley, Connick, Sasu, Stevens, Richards and McNally. So it feels like we've still got quite a lot of strikers. We've still got probably quite Richards, a lot of centre midfielders.
Richards describes himself as a right winger as well. So Richards could be one of your wing backs, Matt.
Yep.
Well, yeah, and that depends on the scenario with Gooch, obviously.
Yep.
Because Gooch was a winger, and he's been converted at Huddersfield to playing as a wing-back.
So at the moment, we've got five centre-backs, which I think is probably enough. And also, you could put you could put Seddon as a centre back as well in that partnership. Wing backs is where we're obviously light if we're still going with this 3-5-2 and still having flying wingers. Centre mid, it looks like, it feels to me like we've got a couple more, but maybe Brown goes because it feels like we've got seven there. And strikers, we seem to have a lot of, but have we got any ones that are really going to do it for us? And we haven't seen Connick play yet, so I don't know. And it's going to be an interesting one. And do you know what? I'm really tempted to say at this point, right now, with all that squad, Adam, what do you reckon, mate?
Goodness sake! Why are you even asking me?
Because it's the only way I can keep you with us.
Oh my days!
It feels like that's a lot.
I think we've got a good squad. That's all I care about.
And that's the other thing. That is why now I think about the money thing, because we've got. There's a lot there. I mean, it feels like we've got a couple of players in up front.
Yeah.
Too many players up front. We got two players in midfield. I mean, I'm guessing that potentially midfielders could fill that wing back role.
One thing to think about, Matt, is what we have to remember is that, yes, we brought some players in today, but for the first 60 minutes against Wigan, we were dog shy.
Well, again, it's interesting.
Like, we go through it, and I think it's worthwhile trying to think, like, what's our best back three? Who are those best back three out of that? Because, you know, I wasn't that convinced by Johnson. Yes, I like Oggs. Yidom, I do like, and I like Sweeney. So Sweeney for me is a definite. Right, but actually, then I would then say we looked better when Seddon was in the centre back rather than anyone else out of those lot. So go on, Mark. So it's like I'm just struggling with who's our best back three.
Yeah, who's our best back three?
We look better with Sessegnon playing. I think the reason we look better with Sessegnon playing is because. Actually, at that point, and we were chasing the game, and it was 0-0, Seddon was happy to overlap with Sessegnon. Sessegnon was bringing the ball inside on his right foot as well. So I cannot see a way in which we fruitfully can do well at wing-back without Sessegnon being a first-choice player. Now, we could be obsessed, as loads of players are in the Premier League, with having a left-footed player on the right or right-footed player on the left. I would just say Sessegnon is one of your better players. He's played at a much higher level. He looks like he's fit. Play him on the right. Tilly, unfortunately, does not at the moment deserve to be in the team, in my opinion.
So you're having Sessegnon as your flying right wing back.
Yeah. And
okay. Who are you playing as centre backs? So let's go. I would definitely say Sweeney. Mark, if we're playing, let's face it, he's going to play 3-5-2. That's the style he's going to play. So who's your three?
Well, Johnson's captain. So now that he's named Johnson as captain, he's not... Like when Reeves was captain, he was very rarely going to not pick Reeves. Now, Johnson has been named as captain. Smith is his understudy. So he's going to pick Johnson.
Do we think he should?
Do I think that Johnson and Sweeney together are an immobile combination? Yes, I do. I think.
So who would your three be? You don't have to get wrapped up into JJ's head because he's got a different side. Who's your three? I think I'm definitely going Sweeney. I don't know whether I'm going. I mean, Oggs has got pace. I like him. I think he's underrated in our team.
At the moment, I might even play Oggs left because there were occasions last season when Johnson was injured where we played Oggs on the left of the three.
Yep.
And obviously Sweeney in the middle. And then you can play Yeardom on the right. And again, I think that is useful because that would enable us to actually have somebody in the back three who is confident about bringing the ball forward. Because Sweeney isn't particularly, and Oggs likes the idea, but then gets to the halfway line, much as that Fulham centre-back did Thursday night, and then passes the ball sideways. If Yeardom can actually bring the ball through, because he's a fullback as well, then that, I think, would give us that much more incisiveness out of midfield.
Okay, so we are starting with Bursic, Oggs, Sweeney, Yeardom, and Sessegnon on the right and Seddon on the left. That's our five, yeah? Across the back. And then
I'm not far off that. I can see that logic. Yep. Really can. Because that's where I'm at. I'm not convinced by Johnson and those three feel solid to me.
Yeah. And also, and if we have to make those changes, if we make those changes, Nye, you can bring on Johnson, you can bring on Simmons, you can move Sweeney into that centre-back, not Sweeney, I keep doing this, Seddon, into that centre-back thing as well. So that's a fairly decent...
Simmons is an interesting choice as well, because obviously I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, he talked a good game, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So...
For now, I'm still playing Hippolyte as one of the attacking tens, alongside probably McNeely, but McNeely is not match fit. JJ said he actually was knackered just from playing that 25-minute cameo. Yeah. So.
But who's your three midfield? I mean,
I'm not playing three midfield. I'm playing the formation they played on Saturday, which is two midfield. My two holding would be Smith and Harrison.
Okay.
And then I'm playing ahead of them, McNeely and
Hippolyte
for now, and arguably McNeely potentially and your lad. Dwayne.
Richard,
thank you.
But so then you've got Connick. You've got Connick, Sasu. I think everyone thinks should be immediately in the squad. Stevens and this other guy, Richards, the whisperer. Yeah.
Sorry, Richards is an interesting one because Richards is a winger. So does Richards put pressure on that Seddon's slot, and therefore Seddon goes into the back three?
No, because I don't want him to play wing back. I don't want JJ to do with Richards what he's done, we did obviously with Nkeng, which is hamper his effectiveness by causing him to actually have to be defensive.
So it's going to be interesting. I mean, if you've got Stocknett, McNeely, and Hippolyte, you can then make changes. Connick, Stevens, Richards can all come on. We don't know about
Massey to alternate in terms of an actual target man, unfortunately.
So I mean, I just think where we're at here, Gideon, is we've got
and we've not even talked about Brown.
Deadline's over, and we're looking to see whether we can move on Sasu and McCoy Splatt and get Gucci.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to move on McCoy Splatt or Sasu. Obviously,
no, McCoy Splatt was in the picture.
Didn't succeed.
McCoy Splatt was in the picture. That went up to Long Eaton, so he's staying with us, and he's not been given a run of games. We simply don't know.
Yeah, and I also think Nelson's been given a bit of a bad rap so far, because again, he's got to start and actually forge a partnership with Smith, and he hasn't had a chance to do so yet. You know.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. And you've got Maycock in there as well. I mean, arguably,
I like Maycock.
Yeah,
actually, it's fair enough because Maycock. One thing I thought we missed massively on Sunday was energy, and if you talk about one of our players who's got energy, that's Maycock.
Agreed.
You know, because there was no high press, there was no kind of pushing them down, which is why we were good at the start of last season, because we were high press, we were full of energy, and I'm not seeing energy in the team. It did in the last 20 minutes to some extent, but like. It was missing, very obviously missing, and I think Maycock is that person who does provide energy in the team.
I can also see Maycock, if he did play those two in behind Stockley, then Maycock could be one of those. So that's two out of Maycock and Cornick and McNeely and Hippolyte and Richard.
But also the other thing, and this is great because we're talking of these things, and by the time this goes out. If Adam could stay awake, if by the time this goes out, we'll have a much better idea, because we don't know if Brown's still with us. Does he take Hippolyte's position? Lewis has clocked Adam for the first time.
No, none of his podcast just did the eyes, you know, the transfer eyes thing.
Yeah.
To which I just responded, "Stop winding us up."
Yeah.
To which they just responded, "I just wanted to join in." Fun.
Yeah.
I mean, just literally sheer hazardry.
I know, just that is it. Just chuck the eyes in. Here we are. We're coming into the last 10 minutes. I think we're still waiting to hear on Gooch. We're still waiting to hear on some outgoings as well. Is Bishop still going to be with us? And maybe we're going to hear some other things earlier on tomorrow morning. You know, that's going to be the thing.
Doom treats, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, with the 1 o'clock, right, is they don't actually necessarily announce them, even though they've happened. So, you know, there could still be other stuff.
I've never known us to make so many changes in the transfer window. It's just nuts.
But here's the question, right? The end of last season, we had loads of injuries, but we also conceded something like 72 goals. So that defence needed to be revitalised. Now, arguably, we wouldn't have got rid of Lewis, and we probably wouldn't have got rid of Johnson, even, and he's obviously under contract. Now, Johnson doesn't look like he's aged particularly well. Oggs has done all right. Otherwise, we've rebuilt that defence. Yeah. Seddon looks okay. Seddon at the moment, I was very small selection of games so far, but Seddon looks to be on the standard that he was last year, which is 7 out of 10 every week.
Yeah.
Even though his corners so far have been absolutely shite. Which is obviously quite frustrating when in games like Fulham when you need to maximise every opportunity you possibly can do. But yeah, that we have otherwise revitalised that defence because you've got Yedom in there and you've got Sessegnon in there. Who are both rather more experienced players. And that is an interesting thing now with Sessegnon, with Yedom, with Cornick, with Stockley. There's four players just there without naming any others who are quite experienced. You bolt that onto the experience of the club we already had, then even young players coming into it, like your lad Simmons from Brighton, like Richards from Chelsea, like Sir Harrison in centre mid, who's only recently just turned 19, I believe. You know, that's actually a reasonable mix. Whether we have the legs, well, that's what does concern me, that if we do try and press high, which we want to do, we want to show the energy that Niall was talking about, do we actually have the legs to be able to defend? Certainly, so far, Tilly has been found wanting in that particular regard. I don't want to pile on Tilly at all, but certainly, but the likes of Tilly and Nelson, for example, if they're playing in a team that people counter-attack on, then they've got to find a fourth or fifth gear.
Yeah, it's interesting. What also is interesting is up until the Friday of last week, we only had one of our five loan players. Now we've filled all the loan spots. And I kind of didn't expect that to a degree. And I was wondering whether we would save any for the transfer window. And again, you know, Niall, it's like you say, there's a Brodie Hughes thing. I mean, how many of these players are actually going to get into our first team or, you know, be regular starters?
We know I would say, I know the Brodie Hughes thing, you know, is a bit of a running joke, but frankly, I think we should probably put it to bed because Harrison's already shown more. Obviously, we haven't seen Cornick play yet. We haven't seen the like guys that have come in today play yet either. But Bursic's certainly coming with a good legacy. Harrison's done more than enough for me already to be less than concerned about getting young learnees in from you know, you don't get into a Chelsea academy and stay even in a Chelsea Premier League 2 setup if you've got the wrong attitude, if you train wrong, if you don't actually apply yourself appropriately.
So, you know, where are you doing wrong there, Mark? Is where did Brodie Hughes come from?
Yeah, obviously there will be exceptions to the rule because that actually, if you look at it, where's Brodie Hughes gone this season? Nowhere.
How do you talk about Simmons and Brighton? Have you talked about Simmons and Brighton? Then I feel more convinced because that's a club that actually has a better, you know, ethos when it comes to, you know, youngsters and stuff. So I'd kind of feel, you know, whatever. But we've got two Chelsea players in. You know, let's see what happens. You know, and I've really liked McNeely from Forest. So, you know, it looks like we're doing better. I mean, I said in the last season that, you know, what Craig Cope added to us for last season, not much. This season, he's gone a bit bonkers in a really good way. So let's see. Well, I say in a really good way. We'll just see what happens. So there's certainly a lot of changes. I mean, this. Like I say, we could easily play a starting 11 with only one person who was permanently ours last season.
And maybe that's not the worst thing in the world, because,
you know, and it's a pretty good team.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, it's going to be interesting because, like you say, I think Harrison's could end up being a regular starter. Bursic certainly will in goal. McNeely probably up front. I think they look like they're going to be starting. It'd be interesting to see what happens with Simmons and Richards. I think that'll be interesting. And obviously, we haven't seen Connick play yet. He's not been in the he's not even been in the squad so far. So I wonder if he's going up to Burton. I don't think he was in the picture of the squad going up there. So
we're playing 55 plus games this season with cups and everything else. So we want everyone to be fit and to be able to play 90 minutes today. Yeah. But the reality is, we need them to play Bromley next week, and then franchise, you know, soon after that, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I know it's going to be. It's going to be interesting, and obviously there's the ridiculous trophy games, aren't there, as well? So these players will get a chance. I come back to McCoy Splatt. I just feel for him because it does genuinely feel like, where's his opportunity? Who does he come in for? Is he a Smith-like player?
If they're going to play two in midfield holding, you've actually now only got McCoy Splatt or Harrison or Smith, because all the others are attacking. You know, you're not going to play kind of Maycock in a holding midfield role, or Rich is the guy they've just signed, or even Miles Hippolyte. You know, you're wasting their opportunity and their talent there.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Callum potentially in that place. I don't think I could see Miles, you're right. But, you know, that's like, you know, fourth choice in that role for Callum.
It's all interesting times, but chaps, as we come in for 3 minutes to 11, you know, we're just... We're going to try and keep Adam awake until the transfer deadline shuts, which is a challenge in itself. I guess the other thing to say is the tickets for the Bromley match have gone on sale on Monday.
And are you going? As is your local game?
I might do, to be honest with you.
I bloody don't like.
Better hurry up and get a ticket then.
Well, it's only priority one has gone on sale. Priority two isn't on sale yet.
Oh, you're not a priority one. You didn't go enough away games.
No. And I believe you were.
No, you weren't priority one either.
Well, I didn't want to go to
Bromley. For goodness sake. We're all priority two.
I don't know who it is. Yeah, we're all priority two, yeah. Man.
I don't know. I'm struggling with whether I'm going to go, Matt, or not. Even though it is very close, but it is like just.
It's full of bad memories.
Yes.
You've got to go over those bad moments at some point. Well, like we've got to
never. That's been a football fan. Being a football fan is you keep these bad things with you forever. You remember it. You were there, weren't you, at Hayes Lane, where they cheated?
I have been to Bromley, but I was not there at Hayes Lane for that game. No.
Oh, that was just sickening. That was absolutely sickening. Yeah. So anyhow, we might pop along to that and. Burton, I mean, I don't think there's going to be many of these people that are starting. I think McDonald's going to be playing goal tomorrow. It would be my sense. I don't think Bursic will be in yet.
Yeah,
agreed. I reckon these videos they've shot, though, bear in mind some of those players that were in the videos are actually in the squad that was training. I reckon they shot those videos yesterday at the ground.
Yeah, I tend to think that. Because I mean, certainly they're all quite like daylight, so, and they were up at up on that long Eastern. So you know, I kind of quite confident that I would be surprised if one or two are in the team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. But I just look at the time.
One minute to 9 floating around still are that Brown is not going to Luton, and that apparently we are still looking to get one in, but no one's saying who that one is.
It's got to be Gooch, isn't it? Isn't that because he said because the whole rumor there is at Huddersfield and everything's been out saying that he's going to be coming to us. So unless everyone's wrong, and they could be. I mean, like this transfer window daily rumors is part of what makes it, I guess.
I mean, interesting if Brown isn't sold, but doesn't
he's sold.
Then, like, you know, that makes that number 10 slot very interesting. Anyway, the transfer window has now shut.
It's going to be quite well, hopefully he's, you know, like, yeah, it's going to be interesting. Right then. Well, chaps, we've managed to get all our way to 11, and there's been no more transfers in the time that we were recording this, which means there's going to be at least
none that we've actually known about, you know.
Yeah, so there's at least another two or three things that have happened whilst we're, which we'll hear about in the morning. So yeah, we'll get up at. So what we'll do, Adam, is we'll do a special one at 7 o'clock in the morning, just to cover it all up. Anyhow, there you are, people. We've done our deadline day special. It's gonna be lots of comings and goings. It's gonna be an interesting season again. Have we, Mark, and then Niall? I won't ask you, Adam.
Good.
Has the squad improved from our last game of the season last year, Mark? Have we strengthened?
Yes.
Yep. Niall.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going definitely up front. Remember, Stevens is due to come back at some point as well.
Yep.
So, you know, you mentioned Stevens when we were going for all of this.
Yeah.
He's actually a goal scorer.
Yep. So but it's.
Can you imagine Stevens playing off the shoulder of.
Stockley.
In that three?
Yeah.
There you go. With your Stevens, McNally, and Stephen, and Stockley. That's an exciting forward line.
It's going to be very interesting.
Suddenly, you look at the bench. This is the thing. This is, I think, why. Give him a quick mention before we go. Anton Hackford's gone now on a permanent deal to Swindon. Good luck to him there. He came down to us as a 20-year-old kid, scored 5-6 goals, including that goal at Wigan. I heard someone called him one of our best players today on social media, which was laughed out of court. He's not one of our best players, never has been for the whole of last season, but actually his impact in that game, I think he might have scored the winner against Rotherham, I want to say, as well, at home early on in the season. But certainly the impact of that Wigan goal is palpable, because we wouldn't be talking about any of these transfers and any of these loanees we're talking about right now, because we wouldn't be in League One without that.
So we post this at 11, closing this at 11 o'clock. AFC would have just put up a message on X, which says 12 for 12, summer transfer window 2026 complete.
Does it now?
That's what
that
it says.
Is fascinating.
So there is no. So I guess the one player that we thought we would get that hasn't come through, unless there's a sneaky 13th, is Gooch. It looks like we have kept Marcus Brown, whether he likes so it that, or that, not.
Yeah, so those 12 are Dan Sweeney, Zach Nelson, Stephen Cessignon, James Tilley coming back, Jaden Stockley, Ollie Harrison, Andy Yeardom, Harry Cornick, Donnell McNeely, Joe Bursick, your lad from Portsmouth, whose name I've forgotten already, my apologies.
Simmons,
thank you. And the Whisper. I was doing all that by looking at the photos. Right?
I noticed you were doing that. I thought that was, I don't know why you did that like that. But anyhow, there you are, chaps.
And of course, fans immediately jump on after you've made 12 transfers and say, no wing back cover class.
Yeah.
Some people just never.
It feels like we have. Because everyone's a wing back. We know this. So there you are. There you are, everyone. Officially, the window's closed. I think there might be something sneaky that happens afterwards. It's great being up with you, Mark and Niall. Adam, it's been great having you staying awake for this. I'm very proud of you, mate.
I'm going to sleep.
You've done brilliantly. Anyhow, there we are. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Niall. Thank you, Adam. I'm Matt Cooper. We're the Same Old Wombles. We're awake!